You're close to St Saviour's.
St Saviour's will be our encampment area, yeah.
But there's no places there.
There's 20 ahead of us. So
20 ahead of you?
When the day we put in the application form, we were told there was 20. Not, I wouldn't even say so much as 20 ahead of us. Is that right, Jen? It's more.
It's not ahead of us. It's when I was speaking to the secretary, she explained it to me that when all the applicants are in, then they would get their CNO.
Oh, yes.
To look.
Yes.
At all the applicants, and then
I suppose
it's a lottery system.
Yeah.
And I think that's based on all the schools, I would imagine.
You were just telling me about pre-verbal or non-verbal, some people would have said, and what was said to Harper? What did somebody say?
TJ came out and said, like I think it's amazing for a four-year-old child to even have this in his thought process, that it's okay. Like he said to his mummy, so I'm going to say mummy, it's not that he said it to me, that Harper just lost her words, she just needs to find them. And
because Harper did speak, didn't she, like
she
TJ?
She regressed at, I think it's approximately 14 months. She had mama, dada, baba, ball, and then her last word that she said, the last word she said at 13 months old was nope. That was the last thing she said. And I haven't heard that little voice since.
Let's see if you can make any difference to these poor people who were on this programme yesterday, bawling, crying. Here's Sarah.
Please sanction more classes in more schools as a matter of urgency. Because there's so many children. It's not just myself or even Melissa and Jennifer. They're in my daughter's school as well. There's four of us. With the worry of no place that our children are going to go to school.
And I can play another six or seven clips, and there's around 20 messages coming through. Minister, what do you have to say? Places for autism and special needs children at schools. You have failed these people miserably.
Yeah, I actually listened back to some of the interviews there, Damien, in anticipation of this coming up. And it's an issue that I have a lot of experience of within my own constituency and beyond. I can make the case to you here this morning now that we have around 3,300 such classes across the country to meet the needs of your listeners, their families, their young boys and girls who need the help and support. But I absolutely accept that we need to do more of this in the time ahead.
This is the first time in the 5.5 years that I'm in this job to have two daddies in to talk about a particular situation. And it's just worked out the way we're trying to organise this. And I appreciate you coming in, genuinely. And I asked you at the start just to give us a little bit of a personal experience, because we don't understand this. People that don't, and this is part of the political thing we'll talk about in a minute. I can't begin to imagine what it's like to raise a child that's non-verbal. Like, I've raised two children to varying degrees of success.
I suppose for us, my little boy's name is Harry, and he's four. Now, he was diagnosed as autistic in July. It wasn't really a surprise to us. We knew that he had some kind of learning difficulty or autism or whichever, because at around, he was hitting all his milestones up till about 18 months maybe, and then all of a sudden then he just stopped. I wouldn't say regressed, but just stopped. At that point then we were kind of going, oh, might be something
and is it
wrong.
Like a switch? Is it like something like it can happen quickly or it's
hard, because you're not really you can't put a time frame on it.
You're not expecting it.
No, as in, like, when we've been talking to professionals, they've said, well, at what point did that stop? Like, and you can only kind of estimate it stopped at a certain point.
I understand the frustration. Yeah. The parents are listening and they're saying, probably thinking, well, maybe they don't have much confidence in it. But what I can say is, this is all about, because we've ramped up the number of CNOs on the ground, we've resourced the NCSE.
I'm not one of these journalists, Minister, that doubts your bona fides on this. The same with Pascal Donoghue. I don't doubt your bona fides. But what I'm saying is that you've been in government since 2012. Since 2014, this country has been in profit. So we had 2 or 3 years when things weren't great. So the financial arguments about we're coming out of a crash, they've long passed, okay? So finances are one thing, and throwing money at a problem is one thing. Secondly is the systems and the frameworks and the paperwork, and you've talked about that. But that
didn't involve financial matters. That could have been done a long time ago. Thirdly, you have the issues we've had principals on, and you're taking away, for example, a library within a school to make a special needs class. There's so many different things that are problematic with this. It's multifaceted, I understand, and you're making a go at it, but making a go at it in 2024 when you come in, again, that's great, but it's just not good enough. It's not good enough, Minister. And I'm not trying to be obstreperous here on this. Like the tears, and I don't understand this, and we don't understand this because we don't have children with autism and special needs. And they're going to bed crying. The parents, they're literally absolutely jaded with the system. And having extra Cinos, that's all well and good, but the places aren't there. You've got children being asked to maybe go to a school on a bus 35 miles away.
And that's not good enough. What I want to do...
But you're sounding like... You're sounding like you're in opposition, Minister. And I know...
No, I'm not. I'm telling you what I've done.
You're in government for the last decade.
Yeah.
Of the seven children that are in that early intervention class and passage, only one has a placement for September of this year. And the parents are frantically trying to find places for their school, in schools for their children.
Now, I have TJ saying to me, you know, this is your last year in passage. He does understand me when we talk. And this is the third time TJ is going to be moved now. And he's only five. With TJ, we have to plan ahead. And he's still asking me, where is my big bicycle, mommy? Where is my big bicycle? And I have to keep telling him that I don't know where I'm going to put you.
David, where's the answers for us, you know?
These places are so important for these children. TJ had very little words before he went to passage. I have to give it to his special needs teacher, Aoife, his SNAs, Claire and Gemma. They are fantastic. They have brought out the best in TJ, his strengths.
I agree.
Harper is starting
Harper
to walk.
Didn't walk up to... Last year she had an issue with her legs. She actually broke her legs. I think I've seen that on my poor mother.
They go into a mainstream school. They are used to five other children in with themselves.
Yeah.
So they're asking us to go into mainstream school with 24 children.
Students,
that is 18 children more. More noise, more everything for that individual child. They are happy with the smaller group, with Harper, she's nonverbal.
She is nonverbal, yeah.
TJ comes home and he amazes me with the signs that they have for stop, wait,
yeah,
thank you. So he can communicate with the children, the nonverbal children.
Like
TJ said to me, like he said to me, Harper misses her granddad. And I said, how do you know? Because...
My dad is in...
She tells me with her eyes.
Yeah, she's sad and she's upset, like... And TJ can come out and say, oh, Harper was really good today. Or really funny and happy. Do you know how amazing that is? And now that's going to be segregated.
TJ did speak. Then he did. And then he regressed. And there's so many... mothers and fathers out there waiting to hear just one word.
Just one.
Mama, Dad. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately,
they're just not getting.
Some of them don't ever get to hear that. I'm at my wit's ending. I'm just at my wit's end. I'm tired.
And that's exactly it. I think it's just I'm exhausted from having to fight. We shouldn't have to fight.
It's just constant no's, or we haven't the places, or rejection letters, or even some people won't even keep your name on the waiting list for it, you know, and it's just constant rejection. Mm. It's so hard, so difficult.
Mm. When you're in that spot, it's hard.
Yeah, and getting no help as well on top of that from anybody.
Yeah.
We'll try and move this on a bit as well this week, as I say, to try and find out and get the figures, because as I said yesterday, the government, some politicians will quote figures.
there's so much money in the country.
Yeah.
You know, you think they could sort this out.
And politicians are great to tell you the overall picture. Like, I'd love you to ask, what about Waterford? What is this in Waterford to the politicians? Yeah. How many places are there? How many schools are you opening in Waterford? Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we wanted to hear from ye, to hear your voice, to hear ye tell the stories, because that's what it's about. Because Katie doesn't have a voice.
No. And that's the only reason she's doing it.
Everything you have to fight for. And it's awful.
Yeah.
Just because they're different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. And it wouldn't happen with neurotypical children. It wouldn't be allowed to happen. There'd be murder.
Yeah.
Sarah Kelly, Hilda, thanks very much.
Thanks for having us and thanks for all you're doing, Damien.
Not at all. At least I can do.
That's great. Yeah. Hopefully something will come out.
Yeah, we will. We'll try and, as I say, progress it and try and help in some way, any way we can.
And thank you so much for bringing it up.
Yeah.
We've tried to help do our bit of advocacy with disability discrimination and the lack of school places. I mean, we are living and breathing it. My own son has been homeschooled at the moment. I had to remove him from a school as it was inappropriate for him. And he was number 22 on that wait list for the special school last year. So we're trying our third year in a row, which actually we will find out on the 31st of January. So we're all waiting at the moment. And I think you described it as the Hunger Games. Everybody is trying to get a school place. It's difficult.
To be fair to Faith now, she sent me a message last week to tell me about a school that I didn't know existed, because like I'm not from here, and to say that, oh, you know, they have one space. And I was like, oh, great, I'll put in my application. But I mean, it's one space, we're both going for it, we both can't win, we probably both be losers, you know.
Theo is 4. He is diagnosed with autism and global development delay. I went and had a private assessment for him when he was about 8. Just after 18 months, we started noticing signs that he was regressing. He wasn't saying what he was saying from the start. And I kind of had an inkling, you know, from day one, from about 18 months, that there could be something. And we went and got a private diagnosis because I was told that it'd take about 2 to 3 years on the HSC's list. That diagnosis cost €2,500. So we went and got that in 2023. And he was given his diagnosis then after 2 days in Kilkenny. And after that, we have been sitting there basically waiting for any service.
The cost of that diagnosis.
Huge amount of money. And you'll do it and you'll get it for when you need to. The problem is, unfortunately, now we're being pushed into this private sector because there's not the places there, the assessments are not there. That's the reality of what's going on in all walks of life, I suppose, now. We are just being pushed into the private sector because the waiting lists are so long.
And then the lift arrives. It's actually a kind of a people carrier. And Jay gets out. His mammy brings him into the house. And he doesn't get annoyed or upset that I'm there. He kind of half ignores me and goes into his sensory room and starts talking to himself and playing with his, I suppose, the things in the sensory room. The day continues. And he has this fidget wall. So what's he doing, Rebecca?
So basically he's regulating now after school. So his special interest would be he likes to watch things move and he likes Peppa Pig. So he's actually scripting an episode from Peppa, even though it's probably unintelligible to others. Here he is now taking his iPad and he's probably going to put on an episode of Peppa. And that's probably why he's scripting.
We've contacted St. John's and also the guards to see what the situation is with that. And as we said, no issues with St. John's at all. Everybody says they're just absolutely brilliant. And Aoife, the principal there, a wonderful, wonderful person. Want to wish them the very best. They do amazing work. Amazing work. What do you think?
They are put into a draw for a particular class. We have
write them out on a piece of paper or whatever and put them into the bag, and then the draw is made.
In the bag, we double check the bag. The superintendent comes in from the Garda station, double checks that all the names that are going towards that class are in the bag, and then the draw takes place. not something I wish to do.
No.
And it's certainly not something I signed up for when I entered into teaching 15 yeah. years ago, you know, that this or any of this would be the case.
The weather was dry but cold yesterday evening in Dungarvan when people gathered around 6 o'clock in front of the Bank of Ireland. I was asked to say a few words by Rebecca Meehan, and Rebecca is one of the parents campaigning for a place for her autistic child. Her son Jay was there with his dog and relations and family friends. And it was just amazing. Really, really was amazing to see the number of people that turned up.
The teachers are aware that this is a capacity issue and they're all backing it and they're behind it.
Yeah, and we said that last night, and you said it and we all said it, that we're all in this together and everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet. All the mainstream politicians are saying, yeah, we want to try and get this sorted. We heard what the minister had to say in the Dáil and all that. The fact of the matter is, as of this morning, we still don't know where we're at. You still don't know where you're at.
Exactly. I mean, there's still so much uncertainty around this and we have no commitment towards the children. So that's going to be the next step. Like, we're going to keep pushing on.
And after the Oireachtas proceedings, Helen McEntee came and met you personally. Is that correct, Kevin?
That's correct, Amy. No, and she came up after the debate. We were just kind of, you know, making our way towards the door and down the stairs. And herself came up and Paul Murphy came up to see some other parents that were in the gallery as well. Now, I don't know, but I believe that would be kind of a rare thing for her to do. And in fairness to her, she did come up. We got a one-on-one. She wasn't trying to get away from us. You know, she listened to us and took her details. And, you know, she said she would she would do everything in her power to try and get this done.
When you hear of the parents and the stress they're under and having to go to the Oireachtas, and maybe some people within the department, again, maybe it's a wrong thing, a flippant thing for me to say, but maybe some people don't really understand the priorities and the needs of children with autism.
Yeah, look, I'm not for 1 minute saying to anybody I know how it feels like, but in another life I know how it feels like to have to go up to the Dáil, campaign for different things, and how draining that can be. And in addition to that, then, they all have, you know, kids at home with additional needs. They have to get babysitters. This should not be happening, and politicians can use all the excuses they want. We're going to do it. You know, these are kids we're talking about. You know, over a period, you've been highlighting it, and this morning, it's just wrong. And, you know, politicians can make all the excuses they want, and there's always a solution to a problem if you want a solution.
And it's great to live in a democratic country when you can raise stuff on radio stations and it can be responded to by politicians. And one particular aspect is the issue of St John's Special School in Dungarvan. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin, it was raised in the Dáil yesterday.
That's no consolation to Jay and the family involved there. But we will do everything we possibly can to get a place for that child for September of 2025, and indeed for all the children waiting. And that will be a very clear focus of the government, particularly in the special education area.
Yeah, now there are limited places, we know, and you can't just put in 5 or 6 children with special needs into a school when they don't have the space, and then they have to get the SNA people involved. And Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, she had raised the issue in the Dáil.
The idea that any child is forced into a lottery for the chance of getting a school place is unthinkable, and yet it's happening. One mother, Jay Meehan from Waterford, is quoted today in the media saying it's like playing the Euro Millions for her child's future.
We've got some breaking news this morning, and it's a topic, as you know, we've been covering a lot. It's a topic that you've raised as well. It's not just a local issue, it's a national issue. But some breaking news in relation to, locally in Waterford, school places, primary school places for children with autism. What can you tell us, please?
So the really positive news that I've received today is that there will be 11 new special classes sanctioned by the NCSC. So that's the National Council for Special Education for this coming school year 2025 to 2026.
Having the cup of tea here now with Brian. Brian, thanks for the cup of tea.
You're so welcome, Damien.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Melissa is your daughter.
Melissa is my daughter and Jen is her best friend.
Yes.
Now, I listened to them two girls on October. It was back in October. So I heard her there then a couple of weeks ago. Herself and Jen were on again. Sorry.
I know, you're going to get emotional in this, and we can stop and start and there's no problem at all, because the message I got from Jennifer was, Brian is one of those
countless numbers of grandparents or aunties and uncles that have to learn about autism. It's very difficult.
Damien, for me, it is very hard. And I'll tell you why it's very hard for me.
Yeah.
Melissa's my only baby, my only daughter, like, that's what I mean. She's always been there. She's my rock. She's seen me go through bad times, really bad times, Damien. I love her to bits. Harper, Damien, that's... Sorry now, but this is difficult, right? It's very hard, Damien, to explain what goes through my head when I go to Melissa, because Melissa's suffering, then, just like all the other parents that have autistic children, Damien.
Because this involves a child, a five-year-old, obviously, as you've mentioned there, this case is being taken through his mother, and she's basically seeking a judicial review challenging the weight that's in question here.
Hello.
Morning, Rebecca.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, I'm good. Rebecca, we've just done a little bit with Jennifer there about this test case, I suppose, up in the High Court in Dublin. What's your thoughts?
I suppose my thoughts is it's very warranted, and it's great to see someone actually have been brave enough and I suppose having enough energy to take this case because it's just applicable to the whole country at this stage. So it'll be very interesting to see what comes of it, you know.
Protest is one way of putting it, but it's also a walk of support. It's a walk of solidarity. How would you describe it, Laura?
Yeah, to be honest, we're calling on the people of Dungarvan and Waterford to come and walk in our shoes, because like at the end of the day, this isn't affecting many people. And I don't think, to be honest, people will understand until they're in our shoes how it affects not only us as a parent, but the family, the whole family.
When we had the protest get together in Dungarvan last time, Rebecca, in the evening time, Laura, there was a great support.
There was
hundreds there. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's ask them, come out again.
Please, yeah.
Please, please come out again. You can't just have one protest or one walk of solidarity and then say it's all over. It's not. Now, the government have come out and they've said, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And there's been some people that have got school places and others haven't.
Like, at the end of the day, he has the right to an education in a school that's appropriate to his needs.
If a parent gets a place for their child, the fear is that they'll drop out of any campaign and that everybody sort of looks after themselves. Mm. But what's happened with this campaign and with ye, you've all decided, do you know what, this is for future generations as well, and absolutely, this is not just for our child. It is for your child, but it's also, how would you explain that?
Well, me in particular, Harper has her place come September after fighting since last October with Jen. And I'm not stopping just because my daughter has a place. At the end of the day, we're after strangers meeting together as parents. Mm-hmm. We're not giving up this fight just because I have my daughter her place.
How important is that solidarity, Melissa?
Like, as I said from day one, Damien, it's not only for our children, it's for all children. Even TJ does not have a place, but even if he did have a place for September, I'd still be fighting for children that didn't have a place.
On Friday at 3:07, I got an email from St. John's Special School to offer Jay his place for September 2025. Absolutely elated and relieved.
How do you feel about it all?
I feel absolutely delighted and I feel like everything was completely worthwhile. Coming on this journey and having Jay has taught me so much about myself, but also taught me so much about life and what it means. And I really think that there needs to be a permanent change in education as a whole, all over the country, in terms of admissions policies, in terms of children accessing their educations. Like, lottery systems are just absolutely insane. So, I mean, I'm going to continue my work. I'm the Waterford rep for the Equality in Education for All campaign, and I will be in Dublin on the 7th of June for our next protest, because I will be standing with those parents who stood with me.
There's been a lot of education of people on this story and journey. From last September, October, people started coming on the programme. Jennifer, Melissa, others, we had Connor, with different people, yourself then earlier in the year. And I think it's helped educate a lot of people.
It has. It really has, you know. And it's important, as I said, that those small accommodations and supports are in place for children everywhere in society. And
you want to thank people that have helped you.
Oh, I have so many people to thank. And obviously, after my husband and my immediate family, you were the first person I called because you broke this story for us and you did it with such compassion and dignity for my son. And you said you told the story in such a way that respected him. And I can't thank you enough. I can't thank WLR enough. Mm-hmm. And I have so many people to thank over the coming weeks. And I will make sure I get to each and every one of them. I appreciate everybody.
Melissa and Jennifer have just turned up to the building. How are you, ladies?
Hi, how are you?
This wasn't expected now,
no.
So
and
you've got flowers and cakes and everything. Thank you so much. You didn't need to do that, genuinely.
We did, Damien, because
You gave us the avenue for a voice.
Yes,
No, you're very good. Genuinely, I really appreciate it. I'm only doing my job, as they say, and you contacted me originally, Jennifer, as you say. So last October, was it?
That's right, October it all started. We went on this journey together, didn't we?
And the great news is, from your perspectives,
TJ has an appropriate school place.
And Harper has an appropriate school place too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that brilliant?
So any parents out there that's going through it, there is light at the end of this dark little tunnel.
Yes.
But you will get there. The fight, unfortunately, still has to be done.
Yes.
But
and that's why I wanted to get you on the radio, not for the flowers and the stuff, but just to say, because parents in October will be facing
this again and the stress and everything. And please do not hesitate to contact myself or Melissa and we will help you through it.
Oh. Yeah, it's magical.
And TJ is my one and only, and the owner of it's the start of a new journey, isn't it? And it's just unbelievable. And I have to thank the people of Waterford for the people power.
Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Thank you for the little gifts.
Thanks.
Well done to ye, and well done, as you say, to your families and to everybody concerned
and all the supporters.
And
thank you, Damien.
Thank you to Damien and Jennifer and all the WLR team.
Every one of you, you've been amazing.
Well, that's what we're here for, to listen to your stories and to tell your stories and tell them the best way possible. But
you're listening to real people with real problems.
And you know what? I think it's going to be so lovely for the transition now for September and be able to send you those photos of TJ and Harper in their uniform saying, we've made it. It's another chapter.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Done, Jennifer, Melissa. Well done.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.